Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for joining me tonight. I have something special going on tonight, and it's not sad news or bad news or the kind of news that gets our blood pressure up. It's kind of nice, and it's absolutely powerful because I have seen it work, and that is a program called Magical Ponies. A couple years ago, a very close friend of mine who owns and operates Good Earth Farms called me and said, how would you like to be the new director of the Magical Ponies? And I said, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. But I was very interested, so I went over and we talked for a couple hours. And apparently there are these kind of places all over the United States where they use ponies, especially Shetland ponies, to help other people heal, to help young kids in particular who are having trouble socially or even medically in some cases with adjusting to life. So I said, sure, I've always loved horses, but I've only been around them on rare occasions, ridden a couple horses as a child, but not really what I would call a horsewoman. So I took some time to learn my way around the ponies, and I'd walk them and talk to them and brush them and kind of hang out with them for a little while to familiarize myself with them. And we did some work with quite a few young people. And it was very rewarding because what we found out was in a lot of cases, a kid will talk to a pony quicker than they'll talk to us. So I kind of liked the idea that we could have a place for young people to vent or to get rid of some stuff that they didn't know what else to do with and say it to a pony. So I worked with it for a whole summer. And I got to the point where I felt like I was not really good enough with the ponies to be as good at this particular attempt to help kids as I should have been. I got bit in the butt by one, and I dealt with it and everything, but it made me feel like I was not totally in charge of the ponies, which is something that you'd have to be, especially if you're going to do some work with, as for instance, an autistic child. And we did have some autistic children that, of course, I fell in love with that were just incredibly sweet and happy to have the additional attention. So I kind of walked away from that. I still have some young people that I bonded with, that I'm still in touch with, who really fell in love with the ponies and the horses, and I think it was good for them. And I got a call this week from Nancy at Good Earth Farms, and she says, you're not going to believe what I found. I found this wonderful lady who is really a horse person, who has been doing this already, who would like to take over the Magical Ponies. And I said, well, that's wonderful. She says, I want you to talk to her. So I made a new friend today. Her name is Barbara. And she makes me feel like she's very gentle and very caring. And she's been around horses a good part of her life. And she's done a lot of work with the ponies and kids. And like I said, I think to be the perfect person for that, you have to be on the same level of understanding and commitment with the pony as you are with the child. And that's where I ran short. I could be with kids and their moms all day long, But I worried a little bit about my ability to really know what a pony was thinking. And I don't think Barbara is going to have that kind of a problem because she's spent a long time with the horses and the ponies. And she's even taken them to places like the VA hospital and things like that, which I think is wonderful because we all know that our veterans hospitals here in South Florida, at any rate, there's the big one in Miami, and I've been to the one up here in West Palm on several occasions, and they can be kind of sad. And sometimes the veteran that we're talking about, that's their home. So I thought it was a beautiful thing, and she said a really good Shetland pony will walk right up to the bedside of a vet or anyone else and let them, you know, touch them and love them, and they enjoy it as much as the person does. So, again, I think this is a beautiful thing to be able to talk about, a beautiful thing to be able to do, and I'm hoping we maybe hook up some people that might be interested in working with Barbara and the Magical Ponies, especially if they think their child needs that kind of help, or if there's an organization that would like to have Barbara and Nancy come with the ponies and help them someplace else. So I am going to, of course, bring in my co-anchor, Shelley. She's waiting on the line. Hi, Miss Shelley.
Well, hello, Miss Rini.
How are you?
I'm doing very good.
That's good. So I can't wait for you to meet Barbara. She's lovely, and you know that I thought that the Magical Ponies was a great idea, and
yes.
I did have a pretty good time with it, but I just never felt strong enough in my relationship with the ponies to, you know, to really commit myself. And Barbara already has done that. I'm going to bring her in now so that you can meet her. Hi,
sure.
Barbara. Welcome aboard.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, Barbara.
Shelley, this is Barbara. Barbara Shelley.
Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
So I've kind of laid a little groundwork, and I'd really like to kind of start from the beginning with you, Barbara, if you're okay with that. How did you get interested in doing something like this?
Well, I've been around horses. As a child, I was riding, and as I got older, my kids began to ride. So I've been around horses a long, long, long time. And I got involved with a program that works especially with the UK Shetland ponies. And it is one of the most rewarding experiences that I have ever, ever had. UK Shetlands are innately gentle creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They are, my term is magical. They perform magic. They work with children, adults, specially challenged, medically fragile, if you want to say differently abled.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a wake-up call to me to see what they can do. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're actually therapeutic animals.
Right.
And they are trained to interact with children or adults, but innately they have that ability, and it doesn't take very much training at all.
Mm-hmm. So they just have a natural knack,
and
they have some kind of they must have some kind of feeling for somebody who needs them. I mean, there are people like
that.
They do. Mm-hmm.
They definitely do. They seem
mm-hmm.
to gravitate towards children that are receptive. And that they seem to know that they just maybe need a hug.
Oh, wow. Isn't that nice?
It's beautiful.
Too bad there weren't more people like that, right?
Exactly true. The more I got involved, the more I saw, and the beauty of the programs, it's just a joy to behold the difference they can make.
So can you tell us maybe some actual stories of kids that you've worked with, maybe some, you know, some little stories about the improvements that you've seen happen? Maybe it will relate to something that somebody else is going through.
Oh, I've worked with children that are autistic,
uh-huh.
and they have a one-on-one meeting with the ponies. It's one at a time, and a sense of calm can come over them. They're not judged by these ponies. They're not demanded anything from these ponies. These ponies are just there to be comfort, there to be loved on, there to be their friend. They can take these ponies, take them for walks on a lead, of course.
Right.
They can... the program I think that Nancy would like to be involved with and to do with her at her farm is just a one-on-one or maybe small groups where they could walk with the ponies. They'd learn pony grooming. They could sit and read a book to a pony. The pony actually stands there and listens like they're taking every word in.
mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
They can mm-hmm. even hand paint on a pony. And
wow.
then learn the magic of giving them a bath.
Wow.
Poo and the paint goes down the drain and they can have a fresh new canvas to work on. We could dress the ponies up in costumes. They're like little dolls. They're very, very able to do almost anything you ask of them. I've seen ponies walk up to a child in an intensive care unit in the hospital and the little child's hand just moves over. She may be even sleeping but in the bed, and the pan moves to the pony, and you can see this piece come over. Both of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's
wow.
emotional healing. It's spiritual
yeah.
healing.
And let me ask you something. If you're working with an autistic child, and it's the, you know, some of the autistic children that I've spent time with are really hard to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And have you had any like somebody, I don't know the right terminology, and I hope I don't offend anyone, if a child is severely autistic and they're really
mm-hmm.
kind of in their own world,
mm-hmm.
have you ever had a problem with the child not being good to the pony?
Well, actually, yes, and you just have to take the child's hand and be gentle and keep explaining that this is a living thing, and you have to be kind and you have to be gentle. And usually, if it's a one-on-one meeting, there is a parent there as well that possibly can then help. Never had a real problem ever.
Mm-hmm.
There just seems to be a little bit of magic shining through that. The child may start out that way, but calm comes over, usually.
Mm-hmm.
If not, we go for a walk. We change the pace. We do something different. I never
mm-hmm.
really had a bad problem or a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of help do you see rendered to that child? Do you see anything that moves forward so that you could say to a parent, you know, this is going to be beneficial for the journey you're on with this child? Can you
pinpoint
something?
I've seen it happen time and time and time again.
Okay.
And possibly the child comes maybe every week on a Wednesday or something, and they learn to look so forward to that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a calming influence for them. And
mm-hmm.
they learn that maybe if they're having a really bad week, that's something to look forward to. Maybe if they're not listening to mom or dad or teacher, they'll ask, do you want to be able to go see your pony today? You can actually say that that's your pony for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the child feels such a sense of reward.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen
mm-hmm.
it. I've never seen anything dangerous, never seen anything harmful. Seen children that can act out, of course, that's part of the issue. That's
right,
what we're there
right.
for. That's what we're there for.
And what about a child who's having emotional problems? Maybe there's no acknowledgement of an actual issue with a name, you know, like autism or
mm-hmm.
or retardation or any of the things that we hear all the time. What if they're just behavioral problems, attention deficit, which seems to be such a biggie today? Do you think those children can reap some actual rewards that are going to help them on their journey?
I think so. I truly think so. And it's something that they can look forward to. They know that they're going to do it. It's their pony for that half hour or however long they are spending with the pony, and they can have input as to what they want to do. So their mind is working a little bit differently. They're not just being told what to do. There's choices that they can make.
Mm-hmm.
They can do it. I'll let them do whatever they want to do as long as it's not dangerous to themselves or the pony.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to be, I know you have therapy dogs that go into hospitals and things like that.
Right.
This is a little different, but it's the same thing. It's the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's the magic that happens. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is pretty, it's pretty awe-inspiring to know that you can have a pony,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and be able to put your arm around a pony and talk to the pony like you do a puppy.
Yes.
And I think that feeling is something that I even saw with the bigger kids.
Right.
That,
well, we're dealing with children. They're more their size. A full-size horse is 1,200 pounds. They're big. They're tall.
Right.
A long way up and a long way down. But these are on their own level, and they're so gentle that it's just like having a puppy. One of the ponies at the time was so small, it was a rescue, was so small that it actually would lay in my lap.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Shelley, you'd be in seventh heaven, huh?
Mm.
When
you see the difference that they make and the magic that comes over everyone, it's more rewarding to me sometimes than anybody else. I think so. Some days I think that's just the best thing I could be doing with my time. Don't get me wrong. I've been to hospitals where I see children that are maybe in a coma, or I've been to the VA hospitals, like you mentioned before, where I've seen someone that reminds me of my father. And I end up with tears in my eyes, but it's a good thing that we're doing, and it's a beautiful
mm-hmm.
thing to watch happen.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the actual the actual benefit that we do for somebody who's older and in a hospital? Is it the same thing that happens with the child, or is it a little bit less mystical and just a little bit more just love at its simplest?
It is truly love at its simplest. It is. And
mm-hmm.
I would say 9 times out of 10, if you go into a facility that you have all different ranges of children, teenagers, young adults, some may not really want to be bothered. Maybe they just don't feel good that day. But the next time you're there, they can't wait. They're anxious to see them, and the others are anxious for their turn to have the pony walk to their wheelchair, walk to their bedside,
mm-hmm.
take them for a walk. You can put the lead rope in the child's wheelchair hat, should they be in a chair, and walk them down the hall. They think they're walking that pony, and they're in charge.
Yeah. That's great. So what are you going to offer at Nancy's, Barb?
Well, Nancy, when I met Nancy, I went out to see her farm, her facility. It's a beautiful place. We talked about a summer program for the remainder of May and June, that the kids could come to her farm, or adults, doesn't matter, whoever is in need of a little bit of cheering or a little bit of love, and we would do it in the morning because it gets rather warm in the afternoons. And see how that goes. We would definitely have an appointment. Would you like to come for a half an hour? And we'd have certain days that we could do this. And as the weather cools into the end of the summer, we could take it up again or meet with. I'm very open. I'm very open.
Mhm. Mhm. And how have you decided will there be a charge for this, or is this, how are you doing that part of it?
As far as I'm concerned, there is no charge. Nancy has a farm to maintain, and she has to feed these little guys, these ponies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would assume that she would greatly appreciate any donations from anybody that could make it to the farm or anybody that's even listening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It is a
facility. It's really a beautiful place.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I didn't talk about that. I did talk about Nancy and the farm, and but I didn't mention this, and I am really remiss in not saying something about this. Through the years that Nancy has had Good Earth Farms, she has been on call with the local sheriff's department, the local police station, and many other organizations that are recipients to calls about animals in distress. And
mm-hmm.
it's not unusual for Nancy to get a call in the middle of the night and say, I'm bringing over a full-grown horse. He's been abused badly. We don't know if he's going to make it. And Nancy takes them in. And Nancy does Reiki. Nancy actually connects with these, not just ponies, some of the horses that Nancy has at Good Earth Farms are jumpers. She had a jumper that had been hurt by somebody trying to jump him that was too heavy and hurt his back. And Nancy got him back in shape again and just with Reiki actually straightened out this horse's spine. I saw that with my own eyes over the course of a couple of years. She's taken in horses that have been, you know, malnutritioned and things like that. That's the good side. The not being fed and not being cleaned and not having their shoes taken care of and everything, that's the easy stuff. Some of the stuff she takes care of is heart-wrenching.
She does this on
anything. She's been lucky enough to get a couple grants and things like that. But she also, then she started taking in cockatoos, and some of them had been, you know, not abused, but not, people get them and think that they know how to take care of them and don't. And these cockatoos, this is hysterical. You go by the cage and you say happy birthday, and you get a rendition of happy birthday to you by about 15 cockatoos, all bouncing up and down and singing to you.
Oh, geez.
It's
hysterical. It is hysterical. And she has a big pig named Jojo, and if he's out, he cases the joint. You know, he's like in charge, and he walks all over the place. And if you yell for him, if he's not always of a mind to do this, but if he is feeling friendly, all of a sudden you look over and he'll come, this great big pig just galloping right towards you to get a head scratch or something.
Uh-huh.
He's hysterical. She's got two mules or donkeys that, matter of fact, I have a beautiful picture of myself with Moonshine, who I just fell in love with. And when I'd be on the property, I'd hear him hee-hawing to me, and I'd look over, and he'd be at the side of the gate like, hey, you are going to come say hello to me, aren't you? And she has a beautiful zebra that she took as a baby that she bottle-fed. She has llamas. She has alpacas. And most of these animals all came to her through rescues. And not the zebra. The zebra she fell in love with and got the zebra. But most of the animals are there because somebody else didn't know what to do with them, or they were abused so badly that the authorities picked them up. So I'm not sure what she's up to with the count on horses, but it's to the tune of 20-something.
Including the little ones, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And but I mean, you know, and she can tell you something personal about all of them, like they tell her their secrets. So that's kind of fun, too.
Probably.
You know, yeah, because she has one that chews on the side of his stall, and all she has to do is walk by and say, "What are you doing?" And she has a big llama that years ago was very neurotic, So she put him in with all the goats and the sheep and told him that he was in charge of them. And if you walk towards the pen with the goats and the sheep, this llama paces up and down. And if you eye contact with him, he spits at you because you're not supposed to be near the goats and the sheep. And but if you're with Nancy, Nancy will say to him, "It's all right, knock it off, don't leave us alone, everybody's safe," and he stops. So it's really kind of an amazing place, and I do believe that the benefits that you find there are a lot more than what you would expect to find. It's not your run of the mill petting zoo. There's a story
behind like
each and every animal, right? Nothing
hands
like
on,
it.
And there's a lot to learn, a lot to see. It's a beautiful facility that she has. I'm very happy to be able to be working with her, especially her little ponies.
Yeah, aww. And I think I think you're going to be a real asset to her too, Barbara, because she can't be everywhere.
She tries.
No, she tries. I know. She tries to be everywhere, and she really has always needed somebody else who relates to the horses like she does, and that's you. So it's really a match.
Helps some people that are looking for a little extra love and attention from an unusual source, I think. It's magic. I call it the magic interaction. It makes a difference.
Yeah, and I agree. Shell, do you have any questions you'd like to ask or any stories you'd like to share? Shelley has a wonderful story about some of the most social ferrets you've ever met in your life. So she would bring those to our festival at Hippocrates, too. And she had the kind of ferrets that were very social because she always handled them. And the very first time I went into the back room where the ferrets had their own room and their own little things to play in and everything, I always wear long skirts. And next thing I know, they're almost pulling my skirt off me because there's like four crawling up my skirts to get to me to say hi.
Oh,
it was hysterical.
At
I was like, I never saw such. Usually ferrets run away from you, not hers. And if you walk by a cage, if she had one in the cage, they'd put their little hands out to grab a hold of you to say hi.
Oh.
Yeah. What was great about the ferret rescue is that while we were running it, we sort of became ferret experts. Animal Care and Control and a lot of the other ferret groups actually started, coming to us for assistance or advice. I was at the time that I had the rescue, I was the only rescue in the Palm Beach County area, and we were getting ferrets surrendered to us all the way as north as Orlando and as far south as Miami. And at that point, Animal Care and Control didn't take them in. Sadly, they are taking them in now, which is one of the reasons I ended up having to shut down, because they do euthanize them. Now, I had a no-kill facility, so my numbers went up like Rene was saying, over 100. By the time that we had been actively running. But some of our ferrets, most of the ferrets were very social, but like what's happened with Nancy, some of the ferrets we got were terribly abused. Some of them were just neglected, but some of them were actually abused, and they become vicious biters. They become afraid of the human hand. So if you pick them up and you bring them near your face, they'll either bite your face or they'll bite your hand. So I got bit quite a few times, but we became almost like specialists in rehabilitating the vicious biters. We were able to take them and calm them down enough where they were able to be handled, and they became gentle and they became trusting of humans. So that was extremely rewarding. And those we never adopted out, but we did rehabilitate them so that they would live out a happy life. But I would say, the majority of the ferrets we got were very sociable. They were easy to adopt out. And it was just a very rewarding experience. I had the rescue, I think, for about 8 years all total, and it was just an amazing experience. I still miss them to this day, financial obligations and things like that, I had no choice but to shut down. But while I was up and running, it was very rewarding. And animals for me are therapeutic, regardless of what the animal is, regardless of what I'm experiencing. Animals are therapeutic for anybody. I don't know if you remember, as well. Yeah, when I was at Hippocrates, I had written an article about that, as a matter of fact, about health and happiness from our furry friends. And I had done some research about different types of animals, dogs that are actually able to sense, epileptic seizure before it actually happens. You know, so people who have epilepsy, if they get these dogs that have been trained, first of all, they bond with the animal. The animal bonds with them. They become very protective of each other. But the animal will be able to sense the seizure coming on and indicate to their human companion that, hey, you got to go sit down or lie down. And this way the person doesn't get as injured, because most of the injuries with epilepsy are because the person falls. And that's where the injuries come from. If they can lie down, then at least they're not going to have those types of injuries. The other interesting thing when you're talking about therapy animals is that, and this is documented, that when people get these dogs who have been trained for epilepsy, the presence of the dog shortens the epileptic seizure and also lessens the intensity of it. Isn't that interesting?
Very.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? So I've done, and there's other stories I can tell like that, but what I was saying, that's kind of the research I was doing, and the premise of the article was that we should really, really live symbiotically with the animal kingdom, because we would benefit so dramatically by it. They would benefit by us having a more symbiotic attitude towards them, but we would benefit also, because the interaction is very beneficial to humans.
I wonder why so many people don't get that. I wonder why so many people just look at it as lower down the food chain.
Well,
they've never experienced it. They've never had it. Maybe never had an animal to love and to bond with.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think that it's possible.
Maybe because they're looking for the intellectual connection instead of the deeper connection. Maybe that is it, you know. I never quite understood it, because a lot of the things that I believe in are things that I see the really, really little people do. Today, I was in a big place with one of my adult children while they did some paperwork and stuff, and all these young moms and dads were in there with babies. And I'd watch the babies' faces, and the babies would be watching everything that's going on. And if they caught my eye, I would get a big smile, and I'd think to myself, they just know. They just know that I'm a safe person to smile at. I feel that, because I'd see them look at other people, and they'd check them out, but no animation whatsoever. And, Shelley knows this, because we go out to dinner and stuff like that all the time. I always talk to all the little kids, and I have all these wonderful stories that I tell about AJ, you know, about the watch and all that kind of stuff that I share with everybody. And I think kids, if we would just pay attention to them, can teach us a lot. And I feel the same way about animals. If you have a really good family dog and somebody walks in the house that you really shouldn't be trusting, your dog can tell you before anybody else can.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another funny story. Shelley tells me the first time after we first became friends, and I went over to do something at her house, and she says, now be careful, because I have these big dogs, and, you know, they're not used to a lot of people and everything. And I said, okay, well, I'm usually pretty good with dogs, you know. I walk in the house, and we're all busy, and I said, Shelley, are these the dogs you wanted me to be worried about? And here's all three of them under my skirt. All you see around my skirt is wagging tails. They're all just leaning right into my legs and just right beside me. I said, yeah, they're ferocious, Shell.
Trust you.
Yeah,
they know
funny.
They can love on you and you can love on them. You must have a special aura.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how special it is, but it's safe. That's for sure. And I think that little people and animals do pick up on that, and they know that. And the only thing I can't connect with is anything that doesn't have legs. Other than that, I love pretty much everything.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Well, now, I don't know about the legs thing, because you have a little bit of an issue with frogs.
Well, I don't mind frogs. I don't mind frogs. I mean, I don't want one, you know, sitting on my shoulder or anything, but I don't mind frogs. If I thought they were really going to turn into a prince, I'd like them a lot better, you know.
There you go.
But, you know, that's funny you say that, because the other day I'm cleaning the boy's bedroom, and I open up the windowsill, and here between the screen and the window is a dead tree frog. I don't like tree frogs. For me, look like alien. And I'm not going to say that I don't like them. I find them interesting, but I don't want one of them crawling on me either. But here's a dead tree frog. And I call AJ in the bedroom. I said, AJ, there, you have a visitor. And he goes, what? And I pull back the curtain, and here's this frog, and he's going, oh, Graham, that is so gross. And I said, well, he must have been trying to get in to see you, and you didn't let him in time, because I think he's gone now forever.
Aww.
He wouldn't touch that frog. That frog sat there for 3 days in between the windows. He finally made one of the big boys go take him out. And I said, you're afraid of a little tree frog? And he goes, Graham, that was just gross. I don't want to talk about it. I said, okay. Now, Barbara, how do you feel about the little people? We talked about this a little bit today, and I think we should clear this up for a lot of folks, because when you talk horses and ponies, little kids think they're going to get to ride them. Can you explain the issues about that?
Well, the therapy ponies are not ridden. They're too small. The only thing I've ever done with children and the ponies, you figure they're probably 36 to 42 inches tall. They're too small for anybody to ride. I've taken a small baby and laid it gently on the pony's back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different story. But they're too small to be ridden.
Okay. So when somebody comes to do a magical pony experience,
right,
there is no pony ride with one of the Shetland ponies or one of the miniature horses or whatever whichever one you've chosen to work with.
That's correct. That's correct.
And that's why, because they are just
safety
too
of the horse.
Small.
It would hurt the horse. The horse wouldn't react badly unless it was hurt, and it might be hurt by somebody that was bigger trying to get on their backs.
So I just wanted to make sure that people understood that, because a lot of times that's how mommy or daddy sells the program. Don't you want to go ride a pony?
Okay. No, these are not for riding. No.
So that's a big part of this.
That's another section of Nancy actually has some ponies or some horses that children can ride. But these ponies are expressly for therapy. And healing, so.
Right, so they're interacting with them, they're touching them, they're communicating with them through stuff like in their eyes and having them look back, and there's a connection and a bond there that happens, right?
You can see, I swear, you look in a horse's eye and it's infinite. It's just.
Yes.
There's so much knowledge in the looking into a horse's eye. It's just, to me, it's magic. I keep magic. It's fulfilling. It's wonderful. And I connect. If anybody takes the time to work with animals, not just ponies, not just dogs, cats, but lots of animals, there's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And unless you've felt it, it's hard to explain.
That's true.
It's a true friend. It becomes a true friend. And lots of children think this is the person, this is the friend they can talk to and tell him things that they don't want to talk about to other people. Now they can talk to the pony.
Right. And I think that in itself is worth a small fortune, because when, you know, and God, to even have a friend that is not so judgmental about what you say to them is like the biggest blessing you can find.
Right.
And when you're a kid, that's hard
right.
to find because, you know, the people, young people just don't, they don't even go there. They don't even think like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a wonderful thing. Now, I think also that it's a good idea for people to understand that this is not a one-time thing. This is something that there has to be a little bit of repetition to really make a difference.
Yeah,
am I right about that, Barbara?
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea to do that way. It's one time is nice, but if you work with that same pony week after week, maybe you have a half an hour every Monday,
mm-hmm.
that's when you see the magic happening.
So if you were...
The animal again, there's the... That's when the bonding starts happening because as they see the animal again and again and again, there's a deeper relationship there that's forming.
Comes
right.
their special friend, exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Comes their special
mm-hmm.
friend. And
so,
it's like having
so,
their own pony, but they don't have to worry about taking care of it.
Right.
You can
well,
tell them
that something
pony
else
for the day.
You teach them, though, too? Isn't that a part of something that you do teach them, though, as well, the care of
mm-hmm.
that pony?
Absolutely.
And, you know, all the things that are important for the pony to have done for it because he can't do them for himself or she can't do them for herself.
Yes.
You know, because I think that is an important part, too, because we always, even adults, have a tendency to not think about, you know, I know grown-ups that get puppies that don't know they're supposed to take care of them. You know,
we all know those
think,
stories about the child
yeah.
wants. She wants a puppy, and then mom gets a puppy, and who's taking care of the puppy?
Mm-hmm.
It was for the
mm-hmm.
child to have some responsibility to take care of the puppy, but it
mm-hmm.
doesn't work that way sometimes.
That's right.
This doesn't live in their kitchen.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a number of ways that that benefits are reaped, a number of different ways. And I think we've touched on quite a few of them. I'm sure there's still more that I haven't even learned yet.
Well, I think the more that you work with kids, they're going to teach you, too. It's going to be a kind of a reciprocal kind of a connection. I think it will grow as all the kids grow with you because every time you have a success story, it'll be more information that you have that will help somebody else. I mean, how
very
can it,
true.
But not help, you know, get you to a point like that. So if there's anybody out there listening that would like to do this, you can always come to my Facebook page or you can call the show any evening or you can look up the Good Earth Farm. Nancy has a nice little website that shows you. She has a zoo on Sundays, and she has a little cafe, I think, that's still open on Sundays when people come in. She usually stops that in the summertime, though, because of the hot weather.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a website, the Good Earth Farm, and you can find out all about it. And if you are interested in doing the magical ponies or at least coming to meet some of the ponies and Barbara and chat with them, I'm sure Barbara would like to make those arrangements with you. And if there's a teacher out there listening and you maybe have some special children in your class, I don't know that I would take on more than 4 or 5 unless you have helpers to come with you. Because it's a lot of land and a lot of places for little people to run. But if you had enough help, I'm sure Nancy and Barbara would work out something so that you could do something in a group and maybe learn about the ponies and see if there's any interested you know, participants for a program like that once they meet the ponies and see what's going on. Do you think... that would be something you and Nancy would be able to work out, Barb?
Definitely. Absolutely. That's exactly what I would love to see happen. It's a nice program to develop, that we have children that come to the farm, or adults, or teenagers. We've even had Alzheimer's patients work with the ponies. But as far as Nancy's farm, I would be willing to meet with anybody that would like to come out and meet them. Maybe want to have a session with them. There's, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, there's no charge.
Mm-hmm.
So you can contact me through Nancy.
But a donation for the farm would be
that would
greatly
be
appreciated.
Very appreciated, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that, well, are you lining up days now, or have you decided on some days that will be more suitable, or are you going to kind of play that by ear and see when people are?
Well, originally, when she and I talked, we talked about Mondays and Wednesdays in the mornings,
mm-hmm.
and that would go through June.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a steadfast rule. If somebody can't make it on those times, this is the summer hours. If somebody cannot make it and are very interested in doing that, we will set it up. We'll make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm interested, too, in something you just said about Alzheimer's. What are the effects with a pony with an Alzheimer's patient?
I had a dear, dear friend, one of our best friends here in South Florida, who was diagnosed and over the years progressed and came to visit his special pony every week and spend time. And that's the way I'll always remember him. He's gone now, but he
mm-hmm.
couldn't wait to go to see his pony. And to see him, he just took her head in his hands, and he put his head on her head and just sat there for 5, 10 minutes.
Wow.
It was so emotional for his wife and for me, because we loved this man. That was our Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he knew that day he was ready to go see his pony. And up until the end, that was
wow.
a magic for him.
Wow.
Talked about it the rest of the week.
Is that right? And remembered it all the time?
Yep, he did.
Wow. Wow.
That's extraordinary. That's a great story.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with there's something, and you're probably familiar with this, but there's something called resonance. You have that. You can have that between human beings, and you can have that between human beings and animals. But you resonate at a certain energy, certain vibration. This is something that energy healers use, whether it be Reiki mm-hmm. or quantum touch or things like that. And what they do is they raise the vibration of the person that they're trying to heal. They can actually match a healthy organ's vibration and give that person's organ the vibration of a healthy organ. That's one of the concepts of it. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but I'm just saying on a simplistic level, it's all about vibration. So you're getting these animals that are resonating at a particular level that's very, very calming to people that have any kind of emotional disorders. Like you said, like the Alzheimer's or ADD or autism and things like that, the calmness of the animal actually resonates with the brain of the human being and helps to calm them. It's almost like while they're in the presence of the animals, like what's happening with the epileptic. I mean, that kind of really proves it scientifically, you know, that when the human being is around their companion animal, that the seizures would be lessened in intensity, lessened in duration. And it happens the same way for Alzheimer's and autism and things like that, because what it does is they're calming the brain function down. And if you stop to think about it, it's extraordinary. It's absolutely extraordinary.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, like we have my second son, his wife, my son's mother-in-law, has been diagnosed for, well, probably it's been almost probably 10 to 12 years since she's really been bona fidedly diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And in the last year, I've seen a real decline. And she counts all the time. And I read an article on the fact that sometimes the counting grounds them again. She sings the numbers. She'll sit and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, amen. And she'll do that over and over and over again. And,
I've seen that many times.
Yeah.
Definitely, countless times. And a big smile comes over their face when we, this is at some nursing homes that I've gone to, a big smile comes over the face when the pony comes up to their chair.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just was remembering
situation.
Well, yeah, the singing
and she loves the dogs, too. Jean loves the dogs, and she thinks they're all hers, and she loves kids. Unless she can be mean, she can get into a not very nice place. But it seems to kind of like ground her when she does that number thing. And I'm wondering if that has something to do seeing the animals. I mean, because don't you get the feeling that somebody with Alzheimer's, it's like all the gears in a clock are spinning too fast?
Yeah.
You know, and they can't pinpoint because she doesn't sit there very often and stare into space. She loves music. She sings songs to herself. And if you give her something, even food, she like has to have something to do with her hands. And she'll tell me that. She'll say, I can't just sit here. Give me something to do with my hands. So I'm wondering if that calming from a pony stops maybe those gears from spinning so fast, and maybe she can just like, kind of like, you know, the old saying, let me get my bearings.
Right.
Yes, I do.
Maybe that's what happens. Maybe something along those lines.
In so many different ways, I have seen the calming influence in so many different people that I've worked with. They could be, like we say, Alzheimer's, autistic, ADD, medically fragile, especially whatever. But there is a calming that comes through when they put their hand on the pony's nose or their head or pet them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mystery to me. I don't even understand why. I just see it happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's great that we do have something like this that we know has a calming effect, and that we know is helping in many, many different ways. And again, I want to make sure everybody understands that just being at the farm, if you're in a bad place and you connect it all with nature, being at the farm is good for you, is good for your, I don't know, your sense of well-being. It seems to lighten you, and you see all these animals who, you know, unconditionally are there for you to touch and talk to, and it's a beautiful thing. There's many rooms that we walk into today that, you know, we feel uncomfortable in, we feel unwanted in, we feel like everybody's staring at us. People tell me those things all the time. And here's a place where all the faces look at you with anticipation that you might be coming over to see them, and it's a wonderful thing. So I'd like to thank you. I'm going to spend the last 5 minutes updating everybody on Caitlin, but I want to thank you immensely, Barbara. I look forward to a new friendship with you and an opportunity to become more acquainted with you. And I'm sure what you're going to do at the farm is going to be awesome. And I'm so glad you and Nancy found each other. It's going to be
you.
A match made in heaven.
Very much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for sharing with me.
Yes, yes. And we'll talk again soon, and you're welcome to call the show whenever you'd like to.
Okay. All right. Appreciate
All right.
it so much.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Good
Very
night.
Nice meeting you, Barbara.
Too. Bye-bye.
Okay. I want to update everybody on this story because apparently I'm just going to read it for you. As Caitlin Hunt's legal battle looms, her family continues to passionately defend her. All the while, the Free Kate movement is doubling down in an effort to support the 18-year-old, a high school senior who has been expelled and charged with two counts of lewd and lascivious battery of a child 12 to 16 years of age. But now the family of a young girl she was dating is finally speaking up, and their account differs drastically from the one being touted by the Hunt family. Lori and Jim Smith told WPEC-TV that they are not the type of people who would normally go to the media, and to date, they have been silent regarding the alleged scandal that involves their 15-year-old daughter. The young, unnamed girl was, until earlier this year, dating Hunt. Their comments are intriguing, as WPEC-TV claims that the Smith family's revelations include a bombshell that will likely turn this investigation on its head. And here it apparently is. Our daughter, 14, and this girl was 18, Jim told the outlet, clarifying previous inconsistencies surrounding the teen's ages at the time of their relationship. Previously, Hunt's mother, Kelly, had written in a Facebook post that her daughter was 17 when the relationship began. According to Lori, she and her husband told Hunt that the relationship wasn't right, and by their account, the older teen refused to listen. The Free Kate mantra, the Smiths maintain, hasn't been an accurate one thus far. It's not the way it was. It's quite different, she said. We actually told Miss Hunt that this was wrong. The high schooler was allegedly warned twice. Another adult, a mother, came to me and said, Mrs. Smith, you need to know this. We told Miss Hunt to leave your daughter alone, but they are in a relationship and she's 18. 18? My daughter is only 14. When their daughter began acting out, as many teens do, she ran away. Jim called the shock the worst thing that he has ever experienced. Assuming that she wouldn't have willingly fled, the parents initially assumed that someone took her, but that was not the case. After being told to stay away from their daughter, Kate reportedly picked up the 14-year-old because the relationship apparently didn't stop, despite the aforementioned warnings. The Smiths said they had no choice but to turn to the law. As far as the issue of homosexuality goes, Lori and Jim seemed perplexed in their WPEC-TV interview. While they have been painted as anti-gay in media and slapped with allegations that they blamed Hunt for their daughter's sexuality, the embattled parents said this isn't how they feel about the issue. They made me seem as if I'm a monster, Lori said of Blogger's attacks, noting that she and her husband have turned to the media to get their story out. That's why I'm talking to you. The stories people are saying, I love my daughter and I'm willing to do whatever to protect her. While the parents described their side of the Caitlin Hunt story here, earlier today the 18-year-old refused a plea deal, which would have been given her two years house arrest, one additional year of probation, and a charge of child abuse. Hunt will have a June 20th court hearing. She could face up to 15 years behind bars. So, what do you think of that, Shell?
Wow. Well, it's whether or not there's any issue there. So the only issue is the age difference, then?
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying. But they don't really say that. They kind of pussyfoot around that.
So
but they don't really say that.
So what's the bombshell? Is that there she was in a relationship with somebody else that she was mean to or something? I didn't hear the bombshell.
No, there wasn't one. Just that they had asked her to stop seeing her, that it wasn't right, and she didn't.
All right, so but again, how many times has that happened with a boy and a girl? And you know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, that's what happens when you get teenagers in relationship. It doesn't matter if they're 14 and 18. You know,
that's
it's
right.
Like, even though legally 18 is supposed to be the cutoff, I'm telling you, you know, there's nothing that happens on the 18th birthday that shifts that person.
That's
they
right.
don't all of a sudden grow up and become responsible and make good decisions. They're still a teenager.
Well,
and
the fact that they're saying that the reason that they went to the police is because Caitlin wouldn't stop seeing their daughter. They don't say anything. Well, they say she ran away, so she ran away to be with Caitlin. So
right.
you know, one. I mean, they think they're in love with each other, obviously. So we're out of time, but I wanted everybody to hear that update because I looked all day, and that was the first time anything came out that was an honest-to-God update. So thanks, my darling, and isn't Barbara lovely?
Oh, my God, it was great. I really enjoyed hearing her story.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a really good thing for Nancy and the Good Earth Farm, so... All right, my dear. I will see you tomorrow morning, 9:30 instead of 9. Is that good?
Oh, that's great because I always get there around 9:30 anyway.
No, that's
so
true.
I'll actually be on time this time.
Good. Wonderful. All right. I'll see you then.
I'll see you in the morning, hon.
Thanks, honey. Good night, folks.
Good night, everyone.